Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. You will have to mind, I'm powering through with coffee today, Andy, because I was kept up by all of the violence that was enacted by one of the crazed individuals I think we have ever seen, Mark Violets. Wow. It will be Lee Harvey Oswald, Mark Violets in the list of famed assassins, or in his case, near assassins.
Would be.
Marco Violi once again.
No, I think Mark Violets goes behind the guy. No, he goes behind the guy, the Ronald Reagan guy who shot Ronald Reagan because of Jodie Foster. Remember that guy? He said, when they asked him why did he do it, he said, I did it for Jodie Foster. And now I think he became a country musician after going to prison. He's come out. He's now touring the United States playing the banjo. So a pretty cool guy, the Ronald Reagan shooter. Mark Violets, I can't say the same thing. I don't know the man. I know that what this whole thing has given us so much to comment on regarding the state of media and of like proper journalism. It's ridiculous.
If you ever want to lose faith in the human race, it's instances like this where it just reinforces and also terrifies in a way. I mean, it terrifies me, people who have who are able to have a say in like the process of voting and government. Like I mention his name all the time. I look at my uncle Valentino, the things he posts onto Facebook, these statuses in all caps. The fact this guy can have a say, alarming. Much like the people who believe that I can't get over Mark Violets.
Mind you, this is not the first time. We already had Mark Alviol. Remember that. the thought of Roma meme page, because that's essentially what Giovanni does. He's a Roma meme page who...
No, he hasn't been in trouble yet and isn't going to be in trouble.
Who posts a screenshot of Roma, well-known Roma YouTuber and personality, Marco Violi, on Twitter, and then calls him Mark Violets.
just the name. The name is so good,
but the thing that I think made that announcement so credible to veritable news outlets that picked up on it and ran with it was because it reported the local police confirmed this identity. That was enough for the media, for big news outlets in the US, in Mexico, in Sweden, in Finland, in Italy, to pick up that piece of news and run with it for about 2 hours before it was debunked. So for 2 hours, a Roma blogger, a notorious Roma blogger, was named as the Trump shooter, which is insane.
I mean, does this look like the kind of guy who would enact any sort of violence?
No.
Of course not. Look at that. First off, that is a face only a mother could love.
I don't want to get scooched, John.
Hold on. Particularly a mother who would leave a voice note to me at what time was this? This was
John, I don't
want to
get
morning.
Sued.
Hold on. Rita Lupo calling me a deficiente. One of the best insults, by the way. One of the most underrated, I should say, insults in Italian to say to somebody. It's fantastic stuff.
It's fantastic stuff, but thankfully it's over. I hope that it's over. I hope that, I don't know. I mean, these things, you know, they get so out of hand I don't even think the person that posted in the first place expected this kind of traction, because it really, for Reuters to come out and do a fact check Reuters. On you, it means you've gotten so much exposition in such a short amount of time. And the consequences of it can be so huge, not just on exactly on what media can do, because if the media can run with the false identity of a shooter, that's not good. Okay, that's quite bad. That means the state of media and also the understanding that people have of what they see, online. More importantly, of professionals, because people who work for a news outlet, you'd expect them to be familiar with the kind of stuff that you can find circulating on Twitter. Well, guess what? That's where we're at in the 21st century. So a Roma blogger can be accused of being the shooter of an assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
Mark,
and for 2 hours,
it's a Mark Violet's man.
All the I know. All the big outlets.
I laughed at this like a child for the last 12 hours.
And nobody thought, hey, it seems odd. It doesn't seem real. I mean, what who is the, like, you can, the amount of stuff that just a normal Twitter user could dig up on that situation and a news outlet didn't, it's crazy. But I think that's about enough to talk about.
A couple of the patrons asked us to do the entire saga and backstory.
I don't want to.
I am on 2 hours of sleep. My phone has been unusable since our friend dropped this bomb. As you said, for the second time, because he also
first
pulled
time
this
around
off
it was when a guy was driving around Brussels shooting at people with a Kalashnikov. So that was the first time that. Okay, let's get on with the show. We got a new patron.
Thank you, Steve McKenna. Your support is immense, as is the support of all of our other patrons. Patreon.com/RobaPress. Mark Violet keeps running in my head. I've been laughing at it like a child for hours. I can't stop. At IS Romba Press on social media and YouTube, like, subscribe, please.
You can join the WhatsApp group chat. So next time there is a would-be assassination attempt, you can get prime seats to the commentary on that whole affair. Because tonight when I woke up in the morning and I looked at my phone, there was about 309 messages from all the patrons in the group chat reacting live to the Mark Violet's accusations.
God rest her soul. But this always brings up the fact that for those of you who don't know, Marco Violi, he and I go back some years ago, just very quickly, 2018, I made a simple tweet when he made an article about the Stadio della Roma. I simply tweeted, I don't agree with this perception. It was a very minor detail about the Stadio della Roma. I said I disagreed with it. His response to me saying I disagree was to threaten to kill me and my children, as you do naturally in a very measured response when somebody says very politely that they disagree with you. And since then, it has been between he and I won't say a battle of the minds or a duel of, a duel between very. The opposition that I am facing, the tactics they use, as per that voice note, as you can see, and as per the threats of death after a simple tweet, we are using different sort of weaponry, so to speak, in this parlay that he and I have been engaged in for like 6 years. But goodness, it is funny. I cannot get enough of this, but also, it also brings up the song. He made a song about me. So, you can Google it. Having to explain what that first line means to, I will never forget when my grandmother was like 94 years old at the time and her hearing that song and having to give the details on why, the first, somebody would make a dedication rap to you that begins with Solano Chucha Malumpo. again, you can just Google that. I don't. This is a this is a family podcast.
Okay, but for the people that are just tuning in, for example, from Indonesia, just the shortest way to make this story, palpable for them, it's John fell into the sights of a crazed blogger, Roma blogger. The Roma blogger persisted in sending voice notes over the years, harassing him. Okay, and then this very same blogger yesterday was named as the Trump shooter by another Roma account who just wanted to make fun of that guy.
Man, I can't keep it together, man. Okay, I'm running down like 2 hours of sleep. No, I can't contain myself.
Let's move on with the show. I'm just trying to rein it in. So the whole thing is just funny and tragic. Oh, funny because
Mark
of
Violets.
Because of how it happened. Tragic because of what it says about the state of today's media in a really serious situation. So let's move on with the show. Get into the Roma.
Hey, do we want to talk about voice notes? His Mattia Sulle, his agent, only responds in voice notes on WhatsApp. He won't send messages. He just responds in voice notes, which is I don't know. That's very odd behavior. I mean, Mattia Sulle, Roma like him, his agent, I have these very odd voice notes from him. They are interested. They are in discussions. This deal, I think it is going to happen. If you ask me right now, of course, I can change. I always preface that because I am saying this 14th of July in the evening. I think this deal can happen. I'm confident it will happen because Juve have been desperate to monetize this guy. The second he returned from loan from Frosinone, there has never been even a thought from Juve to keep him. I am a little somewhat hesitant by that simply because I mean it when I say it. Not even for a moment's notice, knowing full well, by the way, that they were going to get Thiago Motta. You could perhaps make the argument that he doesn't fit exactly into his sort of playing style. He's more of a guy who he's versatile. He is someone, though, if there has to be that sort of factor of having to play under Di Francesco for better or for worse. I don't know how much it actually weighs in to how many would view this sort of deal. But Andy, he is a guy I like. I wonder if that means something for somebody like Tommaso Baldanzi. Can you have both? Sure. Difficult for me to envision how everybody meshes into the team. They're all seen that way. But Sulle, I mean, if you watch him, if you were so sick that after watching Roma that you decided to torture yourself by watching Frosinone after October-ish, it started really good. I think Di Francesco at one point had them up to a sixth, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, they were flying in the early part, and then they just collapsed in a spectacular fashion, frankly, with Roma playing a very large
with
part.
With Cagliari, they were leading 3-0, and Cagliari in the end won 4-3. So that's about as Di Francesco as it gets.
Well, it gets about as different as it gets too. When you add to the fact that Roma played in it in the loss to Empoli, but that how that came into the discussion as well.
That's how it got relegated. But in all of that Frosinone madness, one of the bright lights was in fact Sulle, who finished the season with 11 goals.
Well, so is Di Francesco because he still managed to get a Serie A. I mean, you want to. It's 50 Cent who in that one song he talks about having 9 lives. Di Francesco has double that. What? That's insane to me. But what do you think of this guy? Because for me, I like him. Clearly, even despite playing under Di Francesco, he was able to thrive. I mean, when you talk about their attacking output, when I say he was their single attacking outlet, I literally mean that. They had nothing else. Yeah. Zero. They were horrible in attack. They were horrible. Terrible to watch. Atrocious. He deserves a lot of credit for that. I have to tell you, though, what this means, it is entirely up to you what you think about it. But, man, the fact that Juve have never even considered keeping the guy, I am hesitant that by something like that. Thiago Motta showed that he can get a lot of... He was able to squeeze just about every ounce of value out of many of those guys at Bologna. And you would think, just with all of the quality and all of the promise this guy shows, you would think a coach like Thiago Motta would be very eager, keen to coach this guy. So that does worry me from some sense. But when you look at him from a technical point of view, I mean, the quality is there. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But what do you think as far as him fitting in, the figures? This is a 30 to 35 million millions deal. I'm not going to say this would be like your big signing of the summer, because of course something could always happen, but this could be the marquee one. Yeah,
right, but that's but it fits in with the direction that Roma wanted to go in. No, young player, with a lot of upside. I mean, that's who Sule is. He's 21 years old. His first season as a starter, as a protagonist for the team, he leads Frosinone, as you said, 11 goals, 3 assists. He's the creator, the shot maker. He's the facilitator. He's the one that allows that team to flow. And the fact that they plummet to Serie B is certainly no fault of his. In my mind, you know, because I saw a lot of patrons in the group chat that have expressed exactly preoccupation, distress regarding the fact that why would you go out of your way to spend so much money on someone who then cannot play in the same formation as Baldanzi and as Dybala, because all three of them cover more or less the same positions. But I'm thinking, you know, both Sule and Baldanzi are 21 years old. Daniele De Rossi clearly wanted both of them, because I still maintain that Baldanzi doesn't come in unless De Rossi is there. Baldanzi is a signing with De Rossi in Roma's mind as the long-term coach. You don't make that kind of investment on Baldanzi if you don't believe in De Rossi from day one. To me, if a coach believes in young players, especially a player who plays up front, such as Sule or Baldanzi, who switch because they also go from the midfield, they help out in the midfield. They're 21. You can do just about anything with them. You can mold them into anything you want. They have the upside. They have the skills. They have the quality to do that jump. The fact that they play in the same position as Dybala doesn't mean anything, because you can take them, you can shape them, you can show them a way, you can adapt them, you can have the team focused on them rather than them having to adapt to the needs of the team, because maybe exactly they don't respond well to defensive assignments. Maybe, you know, 21 is a very young age for yes, those kinds of players, especially in Serie A, a league that is very tactical, very difficult, very physical. To me, there is no limit when you are signing someone like Baldanzi or Sule, because what you're doing then is you're taking, you know, a rough diamond and you're trying to polish it into something really, truly special. Because Baldanzi was great at Empoli, but he didn't show his full potential. Yeah, we still don't have a clear idea as to what Baldanzi can really do. Same thing for Sule. Sule, off the bench for Juve, made some small minor cameo appearances. Then, when given the chance, he led Frosinone by example. So there is still a lot of untapped, unanswered questions in this, and that's the idea of spending $30 million on someone like him. It sits very much in line with what Roma are trying to do. They're trying to shift that attention. They're trying to shift those major investments on guys like Romelu Lukaku or Paulo Dybala, or even Tammy Abraham at the time of his signing, on guys who have everything to prove yet. So, because Tammy Abraham, the kind of, you know, you get him at what, at 23, 24 years of age, you're getting a guy who's played in the Premier League. You're getting a guy who's played in the Championship. You're getting a guy who's been a starter for a Chelsea side. With Baldanzi, with Sule, you're taking them from completely different contexts. And I think these are players that, like Dybala, because Dybala as well, throughout his career, he's changed so much and he's developed his game in so many ways depending on who coached him. Dybala, there is no, if you're looking at the highlights of Dybala in 2015, it's not the same player that you're going to see then 3-4 years later. It's a player that is constantly evolving. And I think who better than Daniele De Rossi to work with guys that he really wants? You know, if there is someone who's going to get the message across, if there's someone who's going to stimulate those guys to become really stars in a context such as the one at Roma, then I think you have to go for it. You have to make these kinds of investments. If not now, then when?
Definitely. You hit on the Tammy thing. We might as well address it now. I am very surprised that Paulo Fonseca would deem him an ideal or even a target that he would want, particularly in his first season, especially given, I mean, you said goodbye to Giroud, a guy who played his backside off for you. He was unbelievable. I am very confused by this thing between Milan and Tammy Abraham. What do you think of it? Because I think if Roma realistically had the opportunity to offload him and not make a huge minusvalenza, I think they would do any sort of deal, particularly if Milan are willing to enter into the deal a counterpart. I think they would do that tomorrow, would they not?
I think to avoid the capital loss, they would need to earn, I think, a minimum of $16 million, something like that. So, Correct. Yeah, that's what they have to, at least that has to be, that cash has to flow in. Obviously, you never want to give these players away to a rival in the league.
Well, hold on. Didn't you say he was done or not done? Yeah, but
that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Okay. But I haven't finished my argument. But in my own opinion, Tammy is so far gone as a player whose confidence is shot, a player who I think very much whose agility will very much suffer. Because remember those times, the first games with Abraham when he came on. And you're like, Jesus Christ, he's got the footwork. He's got the
After
agility.
Jekyll, no less, yeah.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, stuff that he, the stuff that he showed, the way he moved around the pitch, the way he played with the ball. And yet, we didn't see that in the second season. He didn't show any of it. He was really much more static, sloppy passes.
So many misses.
Bad
so
touches.
Many.
Really not the player that he was in the first season. And then add salt to the injury, you have that ACL injury, which in my opinion sort of undercuts completely his growth, the journey that he was on, moving from the Premier League to Italy. Clearly he was settling in, he was becoming a different player. I think the ACL injury put a stop to that. This is a player, in my opinion, who, you know, there are people who are afraid that he may go and score double digits in the league if he goes to another team such as Milan. Oh. I think, honestly, this is, if you can get rid of him, you have to get rid of him any which way you can. In my mind, it's also funny that I don't think this is a guy that Paulo Fonseca wants. I think this is just a convenient solution for Milan because, you know, in Italy, you don't have to pay up front. You don't have to go out of your way and put the money on the table. You know, the clubs such as Milan, Roma, they have relatively good relations with each other. So it's all a whole different thing. I think it's about convenience in this case, rather than Abraham fitting in with Fonseca's playing style. And if you can get someone in that deal, if you can get an Okafor, because that's the latest name that is rumored.
Man, people were complaining about Salamakers.
Yeah, I mean,
give me him tomorrow.
Give me him tomorrow.
Are you serious?
For Abraham, give me him tomorrow for Abraham, especially since Salamakers, even I mean, a player who was a complete non-entity under Stefano Pioli showed really good things under Thiago Motta, really. So
yes.
If you can have a coach who can get him on board, you know, again, Roma are navigating in a certain way. Like, you know, you can plan everything, but then the market brings opportunities. This is an opportunity. For Roma, getting rid of Abraham is a priority. It was a priority since the last day of the season. Roma knew that they were going to get rid of Abraham, or at least they knew they wanted to get rid of Abraham. But if nothing in the Premier League, a league that knows Abraham really well, and not a single offer has come through,
Right.
Then you have to draw conclusions from it. You have to be realistic with yourself. What benefit will it be to have Abraham for another year with that kind of salary, with those kind of annual costs?
Yes.
All things that Roma are prioritizing and are trying to get rid of. So if an opportunity arises where Roma can actually even get a player in return for Abraham, I just say take the money, take the player and run.
Yeah, you have to. There's no doubt about that. And even if there is a player included into the deal for him, I mean, as we have seen in this country for years, the very creative accounting that could easily take place to ensure that Roma would not make a Minus Valenza, even if they didn't get cash, even if there was just a player involved, they could do it. They just have to ensure, because... Listen, Gisolfi, in my opinion, if you had to ask him, I think he would say he has gotten off to a slow start. But, I mean, he sold guys that Roma got for free. And let's be honest, I know Andrea Belotti, when we think of that, we think of the guy that was scoring 20 goals at Torino. Getting 4 to 5 million euros for him is a pretty good deal. No, after what he did, which was close to nothing at Fiorentina, and what is he about to do with Hussein Aouar?
Another very important. To me, that's even more important because, yeah, exactly. You get him on a free, and to even get something along the lines of 12, 15 million for a non-entity, because that's what Aouar was. He was a non-factor. He was completely unpalpable on the pitch. Even though he has 4 goals to his name during his time at Roma, you'd be hard-pressed to pinpoint a situation where Hussein Aouar was, unless you point to that penalty that he scored against Feyenoord. That was a pretty cool moment. Other than that, there is nothing there to look forward to. John, I think with Gisolfi, you know, the fact that, oh, you're 14 days in, you know, you're late or whatever. Again, you can plan all you want. But at the end of the day, the market brings opportunities. If you offer Tammy Abraham to many teams, and Tammy Abraham has been offered to many teams, Milan, Juve, teams in the Premier League, you name it, okay? This guy has been shopped around. If nobody comes forward, what are you going to do? If Chris Smalling is being offered just about anywhere in the Middle East, and he doesn't have anything on the table, what are you going to do? If Rick Karsdorp has about maybe 2 offers
Greece,
now,
Turkey, nothing. Turkey,
that's about it. So what are you going to do? You know, so you can plan all you want, and you can plan the signings that you want. At the end of the day, Roma are dependent on these things for these investments. So Aouar leaves, and you can get a 15 million plus Valenza. Fantastic. You need that money. You need that money, and that money will help you, will save a life. You know, it will get you a reinforcement. But you need those deals to come through. And that's Everybody knows you're desperate. It's the same old, same old. I'm still surprised that people are surprised by this, because you depend on others. Others know in which what situation you're in. And the market in general is a market of opportunity. Think about Inter Milan. Inter have reached success, yes, because on one hand, they've planned. They've planned with by bringing in Beppe Marotta. They had a clear plan of restructuring the team. But if you look at the signings that Inter have completed over the years, it's all about opportunities. Inter made the best of the opportunities that came their way. They made the best of their relations with agents, and specifically the likes of Beppe Riso and Pastorello. But that's about it, you know. Like, so you can plan only so much, because then the transfers, the window of opportunity, is what really makes the difference at the end of the day. Do you get an offer for a player that you want to get rid of? Does Federico Chiesa change his mind eventually? Does Federico Chiesa, for example, because we got these rumors earlier on in the week that Chiesa was too hesitant, Roma got pissed off, and they moved on. Well, as soon as those rumors came out, guess what? Fali Ramadani, Chiesa's agent, came out to everybody else and said, no, we're willing to reconsider Roma as an option. So, but that's only because what? Because Chiesa maybe realized in those 2-3 days since the rumors broke out that perhaps he doesn't have so many offers waiting on the table. So it's all about opportunity, motivating another opportunity.
It is fun during this winter, or any summer in general. You can always tell when a club or an agent puts out a certain narrative, which is why on our website, when you see that Roma changed her mind, or Chiesa no longer wants Roma, and then it goes back and forth. It goes back and forth because each party is leaking information. That happens all the time, in every operation, almost guaranteed. I mean, listen. If there are agents asking to me, you and I, some nobodies with a Roma website, to post a transfer rumor so they can take the link of the rumor and send it to the guy's parent club to try and either get to him a move away or a better contract. That has happened multiple times, by the way. It should surprise nobody when you see this tennis match back and forth of the same story, changing their mind. Things change. This is how the market works. I know. Because people will sometimes give to a stick when it's Roma change your mind. And then the next day, the deal like flips again and it flips again. It's like, yeah, that's how the actual transfer market works. Yeah. These things the change.
Yeah, these they stories. Change yeah,
by it's... the second, man. Yeah. Like, a deal's not going to happen. The deal does happen when the club says, okay, we will add more. Like, this stuff,
the whole
it is
thing,
fluid and it changes.
The whole thing was perfectly represented by the Malcolm saga. That's the most... Gosh. That's the
You're
most
playing all the hits today.
But it's Malcolm. The most emblematic thing. It's the most emblematic thing, John, because remember that thing. He gets on the plane changes course mid-flight. Mid-flight, the plane changes, goes around, turns around, goes to Barcelona instead. And Filippo Biafora, who was like,
you're going to make me get the messages out because I'm about to die.
Yeah, but that's I'm not trying, you know, I don't want to waste time
back
here,
the hits,
but
man.
But I'm trying to exemplify this thing about how fluid the market is. We're talking about fallible creatures. We're talking about people who change their minds all the time. We're talking about people who are faced with huge amounts of money and they have to make a decision. And so in that instance, for example, a guy like Malcolm was headed to Roma, but then a team like Barcelona come in, you know, with the kind of pedigree, with the kind of money. Boom. Within 20 minutes, the whole decision is changed. The plane turns around and heads for Spain instead of Italy.
Yeah, I mean, I will never forget going back and forth with Pastorello. And he is giving me an exact, like, minute by minute what is happening. Yes, he's in the air. No, it's that like one of the most astonishing transfer sagas ever. A couple of other rumors that are out there. Stefan El Shaarawy to Juve. I don't see that happening because of his contract. No other club will give that to him. I find it very difficult. Now I don't know what the current supply of
Stop it. We've got enough lawsuits on the way. Don't say that. Okay. So what do you do? What do you do with him? Do you lose him on a free next year? Do you renew his contract?
You have to, or do you
renew his contract, lower his wages, extend his contract?
You can't renew that. Listen, he is like Spinazzola. To what degree, I would say, I don't know. Listen, Stefano Shaarawy, pre-China Super League versus post-China Super League. I liked what he did under De Rossi. I will never forget what he did against Milan, because you won't see his name under having achieved an assist or collected a goal. What he did against Milan, though, man, particularly at San Siro, that was one of those performances that I will just remember, I think, for a very long time. And it is one of the few times where I can remember a performance of somebody who, again, did not score a goal, did not give an assist, did not even do a fancy action. It's so vivid in my mind.
He worked his butt off.
Up and down, up and down. Wasn't even bothered to try not to track back.
But you wouldn't pay a guy over
3 million euro net to do that. As much as I love that,
but that's what I'm asking you, John. What do you do?
Do
you extend the contract, lower the salary across a number of years?
Do you think he would accept a lower salary? And what do even if he accepts a lower salary, realistically, if we're talking about where Stefano Shaarawy should be in terms of wage, he should be probably 50 to 60% less than what he is at now. I do not think he would accept that. That said, I don't know what he is. Because he is still the guy in my mind. Do you remember him under Jose Mourinho, where he couldn't score those easy goals, but he would pull one out of his ass every time? Man, that one against Sassuolo still is vivid, again, in my mind. Comes out of nowhere. The typical El Shaarawy goal, where he just curls in, it perfectly placed. It was like the bullseye. He hit it perfectly. That guy is not the one that we saw dominate. Remember that Chelsea tie at the Olympico?
Sure.
He gets the goal within like 20 seconds. A rocket of a goal. That guy is gone. That guy inhaled, ate something, okay, during that very brief stint in China. The thing that amazes me is he was not there very long, Andy. He was there for 18 months, and he looks slower. He looks like more lethargic in his movements. You get the work rate, like I said, but I don't know what his goal tally is from last season. I don't know what it has been since he came back to Roma.
I think it was three goals. But I don't. Okay. I actually don't agree. I actually think that the player that we got after China slowly but surely grew into a very important presence for Roma. I do agree. You can make the argument that this guy is not compatible with what Roma want to do in the long run. So I do agree that with El Shaarawy, it will probably be something akin to what we witnessed with Spinazzola. You write it out. You wait until the contract expires. You wave him goodbye. You thank him for his service. And that's it. But I do imagine that a team like Juve, especially with someone like Thiago Motta at the helm, could think of an experienced player like El Shaarawy, 31 years old, can work on the defensive end of the pitch. Unlike Kostic, for example, is not lazy in that position and is not afraid of those defensive assignments. So I could envision Juve being potentially interested in him. I just don't think that in the long run, Roma should consider making him part of their long-term plans. I think it would be very nice if El Shaarawy got his romantic farewell this upcoming year. So all in all, it will be what? He will have been at Roma something like 7 years, which oddly enough is the amount of time that Karsdorp has spent at Roma, which also doesn't really sit right with me. So so that's
In
all
what
I got,
sense?
John.
What do you mean? In what sense?
What?
No, you had to drag my man Rick into it.
Okay. Well,
I just listen. He's another guy. He's part of this handful of players who you see these flashes, and sometimes a prolonged flash, so to speak.
I haven't seen. Yeah. No, sorry, John. I haven't seen a Rick.
But
with Carzo.
No. I'm agreeing with you with Carzo. But yeah. With him, it was under Jose Mourinho, and it was very early under Jose Mourinho.
Very early, two and a half years. Yeah.
Since we have seen something from him, I talked to his agent twice, 2 to 3 times each week. There is nothing.
And he's been excluded from training. He's on his way out. It's for sure. Like, there's no coming back from this. Something has to go through.
But what I am saying is, unless Roma, unless Florent Ghisolfi starts going up to agents carrying a firearm, maybe he can get in touch with Mark Violets in this regard.
That was about to say.
I mean, you can't force these clubs to make an offer. You can't force these clubs to put...
You just have to see who gets desperate. Maybe some team loses a player to an ACL injury and they have to, you know, they have to go for an emergency low-cost signing. That's Karsdorp. He's your man. But there is no coming back from this. So I think that's the overall message that Roma are trying to...
What an indictment. Oof.
That's the kind of message that Roma are trying to send, John. They're saying certain players have to go. Either now or next year, they have to go. So somebody like El Shaarawy, thank you for your service. We'll ride it out with you until the very end, but that's about it. An investment of $30 million for a guy like Sule, we're not afraid of that. You know why? Because there's a future in that. There is no future in a guy like Rick Karsdorp. There's no future in a guy like Stefan El Shaarawy, who's 31 going on 32. So... But there is a future in someone like Sule. There is a future in someone like Baldanzi. You just have to go in a different direction. I cannot stress this enough because people seem to still have the perception that Roma want to achieve, I don't know, the Scudetto this year. But Roma have made it so clear enough that they want to just completely go in a different direction and try to make it in the long run without the pressure of having to respond on the pitch immediately. They want to give themselves time, and we have to give it to them. At least we have to be patient and trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Just hold on very quickly before we go. With Spinazzola, just two quick words, Spinazzola, Zaniolo. Zaniolo, I don't think we even commented on since it has been official, him going to Atalanta. When you combine it with the injuries, I mean, the jokes already write themselves. I'm going to lay off of that one. I have to say, though, I was surprised he went to Atalanta, particularly when Fiorentina was an option. I always thought he was going to end up at Fiorentina at some point because that is where he's from. He's from Tuscany. I thought he was going to go there. I'm quite surprised that you would choose, playing under Gasperini. I think that
could actually revive his career. If there's one coach who can light a fire under his ass and get him going again, that's Gasperini. If he fails in the Gasperini system, I think that's the end of him.
I just look at the way he fell out with Mourinho. I mean, it was so, so quick,
yeah, but,
so sudden.
Yeah, but Mourinho wasn't giving him anything. Mourinho wasn't giving him anything. A guy like Gasperini will make the team work around him and will make him an essential cog in the machine. That's the difference. Mourinho was trying to force this guy into something that he wasn't suitable for. Gasperini knows how to get... I mean, Gasperini has made Zappacosta look like a player, okay? Zappacosta, a guy who got his ACL and looked like he was dead. And somehow they revived him. So I'm just saying, you know, with Zaniolo,
you are sending the strays tonight, man. Zappacosta now has Costa, getting dragged
before the derby. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And just very quickly on Spinazzola, I wanted to comment on this just because the deal that he signed with Napoli was for 2 years, and the final wage turned out to be. Admittedly, something I thought Roma would match because they told to all of us the opportunity was that they did make an offer to him, and then the agent Spinazzola, Lippi, Yes, that Leapy, the son, I should say. They had this weird back and forth, almost like a negotiation. He had trying to play, stick to a hard line of saying, oh, you give us this or we walk away. And then Roma sort of called their bluff. They walked away and they signed a deal with Napoli that, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it is just under 2 million euros net. I think it's like 1.8, which is half of what he was making at Roma. 1.8 net, 2-year contract. Are you surprised Roma didn't give that to him? I have to say, 1.8, I am surprised by that.
I think there's definitely, I'm surprised that Roma, or rather, I'm surprised that, you know, Roma have always gone for the easier options. Again, this is typical of Serie A. You go for convenience because a lot of teams like Roma, no matter if it's Roma, if it's Juve, if it's Inter, if it's Milan, they go for the convenient option, okay? They like Milan, they went for Alessandro Florenzi, okay? And a player who was essentially done by that point in his career when they signed him, they got him. Why? Because it was convenient.
I need to play that Violi gif of you going,
because they were friends. They were friends. They were friends with Alessandro Lucci, so they satisfied Lucci's demands because it was easy. The same thing with Spinazzola. That's what you can do, Antonio Conte. You know, these people. This is a small world. They all know each other. But I'm actually pleasantly surprised that Roma said no, not to convenience. In this case, we're not gonna go there because a guy like Spinazzola has given everything he had in him, and I think we can all agree. Spinazzola, good for about maybe 30% of his tenure at Roma, 30% unavailable, yes, and then 40% really mediocre, impossible to track down on the pitch. You couldn't really find him anywhere. So that's about it. That's where the story ends, and we have to think about this Roma as a Roma who's not willing to give those guys a second chance because in the end, 5 years, enough. Finito.
Yes. Ciao, ciao. Yes. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was surprised they didn't do it, but as you said, I was pleasantly surprised. Usually if the figure was like that, that is something that they, I mean, I just picture Sabatini. I mean, he would walk it over to the guy. If that contract was agreed to, he would run it to the guy's house. I'm glad they showed some discipline because this is, I don't think you need to get rid of guys just for the sake of getting rid of them, but I kind of put Spinazzola in that same camp of Karsdorp of we've kind of seen what there's nothing new here. You're not
there's nothing new. End of story, John. We're not talking. Yes. You know, we're not talking about some players who made the club's history. I mean, we're not talking about Simone Perrotta. You know, even those guys of that quality. Because Perrotta, not a world win. No, you know, not a champion. Not someone who was, but players who were useful, who made the history with the club, who were there for a long time. Those were guys who deserved some consideration. Taddei, Perrotta, you had even Cassetti. Sure, but Spinazzola, Carzo, we've seen them. We know what they get. We know what we get in return. It's not enough. For a Roma team that has failed to qualify for Champions League 5 consecutive years, it's not enough.
Couldn't agree more. Okay, we will leave it there. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.